We are looking at Surah Muhammad. And this surah deals with the very delicate issues of striving in the path of Allah and also coming in physical combat with the enemy. During the initial days, those with weak iman and the munafiqin, there was great difficulty that were imposed on the believers by the unbelievers. And the Muslim asked for the instruction of jihad, to wage jihad. When the order of jihad had come to them, this weighed them down, especially on the hypocrites and those who were weak. They began looking at Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with terrified and colorless eyes, so that they may be excused from this injunction. At times of extreme fear, the eyes lose their color and radiance, as happens when a person dies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala paints that picture by saying, وَيَقُولُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَوْلَا نُزِلَتْ سُورَةً. The believer said, why has a chapter not been revealed? And that is obviously the instruction of jihad. Why has that not been been revealed to us? Allah then informs us and says, فَإِذَا أُنزِلَتْ سُورَةٌ مُحْكَمَةٌ وَذُكِرَ فِيهَا الْقِتَالِ. Then when a fortnight chapter is revealed, and there is mention in there of qital, combat with the enemy, رَأَيْتَ الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبٍ مَرَضٌ. You see those who have illness starting in their heart. يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَيْكَ نَذَرَ الْمَغْشِيِّ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْمَوْتِ. They stare at you just as an unconscious person stares blankly at the time of death. فَأَوْلَى لَهُمْ. So destruction to them. So they call for this injunction, but when it came, they were unable to hold it up. In fact, what they said, طَاعَةُ وَقَوْلٌ مَعْرُوفٌ. Outwardly they obeyed and said good words. These people displayed their obedience outwardly and professed their submission to Islam and the injunctions of Islam verbally. However, the real test for them to obey the injunctions of Allah and His Messenger practically and say good words, and that wasn't displayed by them. And that is truly tested when the acts of jihad come upon a person and one has to then submit to the instructions of jihad. When jihad comes, فَإِذَا عَزَّمَ الْأَمْرِ فَلَوْ صَدَقُ اللَّهَ لَكَانَ خَيْرَ لَهُمْ. And once the matter is emphasized, had they remained true to Allah, it would have been better for them. A person becomes an unbeliever by not accepting the injunction of Allah. And that is what we need to understand, that you are not only a Muslim by saying the kalima la ilaha illallah, but if you reject any of the emphasized or clear injunctions of the deen of Islam or any of the commands of Allah, then a person becomes an unbeliever. And it's essential to obey the orders of Allah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, through this, where there was the test that was revealed, he was able to gauge who were those that were truthful and who were there for the outward gain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then continues by outlining to the believers that فَهَلْ أَسَيْتُمْ إِنْ تَوَلَّيْتُمْ. It is also expected that if you were given authority on the earth, you would spread corruption in the lands and sever relations. When people are intoxicated by power and authority, they generally do not remain steadfast in justice and equity. Their greed for worldly things increases. And in this greed for authority, wealth, they have their selfish interests, and this clashes and conflicts takes place. And this results in corruption and the severing of relationships. And that is the end result. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتُقَطِّعُوا أَرْحَامَكُمْ. And you cut the ties. You cut ties. And this is something really important. Arham, which comes from, is the plural of rahim. And this is a receptacle, a repository. And the mother's womb is where the baby is held, protected and developed before birth. And because that is the source of all relationships and kinships, it is very figuratively used in the sense of all human relations and kinships. And that is why in Tafsir Ruh al-Ma'ani it is mentioned the detail that of this Arham and Rahim. Islam has laid a great stress on the fulfilling of the rights of relationships. In Sahih al-Bukhari, there is a hadith on the authority of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu and two other Sahaba, to the effect that whoever maintains good relations with the kith and kin, Allah will keep good relations with him. But whoever severs his bonds of kinship, Allah will also sever his relations with him. There is a hadith on the importance of treating relatives kindly in terms of words, in terms of deeds, in terms of wealth. And we were told that Iqra in shi'tum, read if you want this verse of the noble Quran. And Nabi Salsam also told us, لَيْسَ الْوَاسِلُ بِالْمُكَافِي. The person who perfectly maintains the ties of kinship is not the one who does it because he gets recompense. Oh, that person is nice to me, so I'll be nice to him or her. And if you treat me with contempt, if you are rude to me, then you'll get the same from me. That shouldn't be the case. But لَكِنَّ الْوَاسِلُ الَّذِي إِذَا قُتِيَتْ رَحِمُهُ وَصَلَحَا. The wasil, the one who truly joins the ties, is the one who treats his kinsmen fairly, even though others have severed the ties of kinship with him. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ فَأَصَّمَّهُمْ وَأَعْمَىٰ أَبْصَارَهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that such are those whom Allah cursed, and He thus made them deaf and made their eyes blind. That when they have reached that stage where they're not interested in following the injunctions of Allah, where they continue to act blindly and overlook everything, then they are the ones who Allah has cursed. And in other words, people who cause corruption in the land, those who break bonds of kinship, they have been cursed by Allah. That is that Allah has driven them away from His mercy. And it is on this verse here that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu regarded certain aspects that with regards to slavery and others, that if a person has a slave who is a relative, then it's not permissible to sell that slave. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, because of this verse. And also, we are told that do not curse specific people. There are those who go about cursing the son of Sayyidina Muawiyah, Yazid. And they use this verse of the Quran and say that Allah has cursed those who spread corruption, so why should we not curse them? Remember that the general principle that majority of the Ummah hold, that it is not permissible to curse any particular person unless we know for sure that that person died in a state of disbelief. Like you have Fir'aun, Haman, Qarun, Abu Jahl. For them we know certainly that they died in a state of kufr. So you can say curse upon them. But then what do you benefit by cursing them? That's why our ulama say that nevertheless, cursing shouldn't be something that we practice upon. That you can, in a general say that may Allah's curse be on the liars, may Allah's curse be on the oppressors, may Allah's curse be on those who are spilling the blood of the Muslims, may Allah's curse be upon those who are violating the rights of the Muslim. And that is the important message. After that, we are called upon to reflect on the Quran. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Why do you not ponder on the Quran? أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. That, or are there locks on their hearts? The hypocrites not ponder of the Quran. Why is that the case? Are there locks on their hearts because of their mischief? Because of these locks, there remains no way of the words of the advice of the Quran reaching their hearts. And had they been inspired to understand the Quran, they would have easily understood the numerous advices and the messages that have been given in the noble Quran. May Allah grant us the understanding. That brings us to verse number 24.